CliffCentral.com.
How are you, Anthony?
Great, and you?
Good
to be here.
Very good. So we've... How many episodes are we down? We did The Craze, which I loved. And by the way, Blind History, of course, is a series of podcasts that we put out, and they've got video now, and people are loving it. And I bumped into someone the other day who... I didn't know them from a hole in the ground. They said to me, I love... Not... I've seen you on TV or radio for like 20 years or any of that stuff. I love Blind History. This girl, just out of the blues, she says this to me. And that makes me so happy because this is the stuff I love. I know you love it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's been such a fun journey.
It has.
I don't even know how many of you have done.
Each season has been like, what, 13 episodes, I think?
Yeah,
well, this
right.
week was episode 7.
So we've still got a few to go.
Yeah, we've got some interesting characters coming up.
Definitely. I want you to hear this quickly. This just came up. So we did The Craze this week, which I knew nothing about The Craze until you told me about them. And then I did some research and we did the episode. And since then, I mean, I've been watching movies. They've made movies about these guys. It's phenomenal. So here's a little email that came through now. This is from Sarah. She says, a few years ago, my dad casually remarked that he'd gone to one of the Cray twins' house parties back in the day.
Well, that must have been incredible.
Most badass thing my father has ever said. Your recent Blind History installment on the Cray twins was excellent. I'm loving the new series. Isn't that awesome?
That is incredible. Yeah. That's really great.
You give us some detail
there.
Like,
cool. Well,
dig around. Ask your dad what happened.
But you know, the big thing is that it's that most of these who we go into, they don't give a shit. And people are so politically correct now. Mm-hmm. And that's why I enjoy listening to this show, because you guys don't give a shit, truth be told.
No, we've sort of earned the right to do that because we started this.
But anyway, but ultimately that's, and if you look at these guys, I mean, the Crays.
Lunatics.
I mean, absolutely.
It's crazy. Right,
let me give you, let's back up and just introduce everything here properly for you, because you probably don't know what the hell's going on. So Anthony Medero and I got together and we had a meeting, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, at our factory, yeah.
Yeah, I flew down to Cape Town and I went to see them. You had wanted to get involved with us from the beginning, and everybody had said to you, no, 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 you can't. And eventually you just said, screw that. You're the MD of Taylor Blinds and Shutters. By the way, we got very nice new blinds up in the studio. Which
good, and they're working well, I see.
Beautifully, very, very well. And they look great, and they work, and they're electronic, so I don't even I just press a button and the thing goes up and down. But we didn't want to do a series on blinds, right? So we sat around the table and we were talking, and Anthony said to me, he just loves history. He loves when I talked about stuff on the show to do with history. And I said to him, oh, really? You're into that as well? And we started talking before we even had launched into a meeting properly, and everyone else around the table is talking business and we have to do this and budgets and what are we going to do? And Anthony and I are just talking history the whole time. And it suddenly dawned on me that, like, wouldn't it be fun? Some of my favorite podcasts are the ones where two people who just love a subject get together and they start talking about it. And you find out interesting little anecdotes. You laugh. You get pulled into a story. I suddenly thought, well, here's a guy who loves history as much as I do. He knows as much as I do. And the two of us could sit and talk about interesting people from history for hours. Let's try and do this. Mm-hmm. Why not put this together? So he said, yeah, let's do it. Now, how the hell did you get to a point where you felt you could actually put money behind this? Because to produce a series like this meant you flying up here. It means us both doing research. And you're a busy man. You have things to do. You're attending board meetings and you're busy worrying about marketing and manufacturing and production and clients and all kinds of things. How did you justify this in your own head before you even came here to record the first episode?
So I think there's just so much clutter on with trying to get your product to market, and also if we have to look how public relations and what you get out of it, but nothing really. It's not innovative. It doesn't give us the edge. So I always try and find an edge, and it's a risk. I mean, innovation is a big risk. Something might not work, and so that's definitely something different. And wow, has it worked?
Has it worked?
So I'm not scared. I'm not scared of taking risks, because I mean that's the only way we're going to go forward.
All right, but explain to me, because a lot of people that I try to explain podcasting to, they don't always get it. And frankly, I also thought this is a risk from our point of view, because we want to deliver some value. And we're not, by the way, we're not having this as a big marketing spiel now. This is something we haven't even spoken about, you and I. Mm. But how has it actually worked in terms of business? Because you could get two people together and they could record a podcast and it might have no commercial value at all.
So you know, when you find out who's listening to your show, I had no idea. So people in our industry, some seriously big players in our industry, or listen to the show, and then they make a connection. Wow. And you know, I've known them from business over the years, and it just gives you that extra edge. That's just behind the scenes, so to speak. But subsequent to that, the inquiries we're getting, it's Cliff Central related.
Really?
So you definitely, and you know, the big thing is, what I really believe, and I know from myself as a consumer, I don't like things like to be shoved down my throat. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to hear, buy this, buy that, do this, yeah, do that. We're intelligent enough to know, you know, look, when I'm ready, I'll call it to action. But so it should be subtle. And if I'm speaking on a podcast in history, you know, I'm hoping the people can see that, you know, I'm switched on and I know, you know, if at least I sort of sounds like I know what I'm doing. So yeah, hopefully I can make a good product.
Sure.
So, you know, and they put that together and we see results from
There's like a connection. And I suppose also people, you know, they really appreciate the fact that you're doing interesting stuff, because advertising is finished. And if you're not doing advertising, you're doing content. And the way to create content that matters is to just do it as authentically as you can. And when people are ready to buy whatever it is that you're selling, they'll connect you with the stuff that you made for them, the content that you helped create for them. And they'll be much warmer to you, and you'll be top of mind, and they'll want to do the business with you above everyone else.
Correct, and that's why it was worth the risk.
Yeah, it creates dimension for you as a person and in your role. Which is normally seen as being unidirectional. It shows that you're an interesting person as well.
All right, but that's the marketing spiel, because I did need to explain this. A lot of people ask me, and it's easier if it comes from you, because you're the one who's experiencing it.
And we've had so much fun. I mean,
oh, well, listen,
it's incredible.
I love these recordings. Greg says, Blind History is the shit, guys. Well done.
So great.
And then Joe has just said, I'm getting a quote from Taylor Blinds, all because of your history.
There we go.
Yeah.
So that's exact ROI proof.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I mean, when we choose...
So where do you get that instant, you know...
You don't get that from an ad.
Not in a... No ways.
I mean, you guys have been advertising for years. Okay, so how do we choose? Because people always ask me, how do you choose who you're going to cover? Because it can be very difficult to... You got to show a little bit of interest in... areas that aren't always your most, like, for example, we did an Albert Einstein episode, and neither you nor I weren't particularly well versed on Einstein. We had to spend quite a lot of time researching him. It ended up he's quite an interesting dude.
Yeah. I mean,
apart from his scientific brain, he led this really interesting life, and he was quite political, and his relationships with women were terrible.
Oh dear!
Yeah,
they were. So he was actually quite an operator.
Smooth operator.
And the other one that we struggled with was Confucius, because there's so little actual information about the guy's life. So there are all these sayings that people put on fridge magnets and everything, but really not a lot was known about his actual life.
And tough to connect with it. It was quite tough to connect with that one.
And then there's stuff that's obvious, like you love Julius Caesar. Yes. He was one of the first episodes we did.
Correct.
Because you actually believe you're a reincarnated Julius
Caesar.
Correct,
yeah, I am, yeah.
Oh. See?
So Julius Caesar and Lucky
Luciano.
Told you
he was a lunatic, yeah.
The two Italians, the mafia boss.
What an amazing combination.
Yeah. It's strange that I'm not Italian the third time around. But they both were murdered, so I'm not sure.
How did you get interested in history? Did you have one good teacher? Because that's what happened to me. I had one amazing teacher in primary school, and that set me off. Although I was probably interested before then.
Yeah, I wasn't at school, never. You know, Lenin was born in this date. He did X, Y, and Z.
Hmm.
And he died in this. You know, often history in school is portrayed like that.
It's horrible.
But so I was very interested in actually my love of Roman history came from Asterix and Obelix. It's the strangest thing, but that's the truth.
I loved Asterix as well.
But when you start looking at these characters, I mean, Alexander the Great. So I just find it so incredible. I enjoy reading. Mm-hmm. And if you want to read something wild, you read Alexander the Great. It's I don't think there's a novel that can compare to the pace of this guy's life. And so I just started reading, and then I started wanting more. Mm-hmm. So I wanted, you know, Queen Elizabeth the First.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really know about her. And then I found out, wow, what an incredible monarch. And you just want more and more. And the sad thing is obviously there's a rise and fall. Mm. You know, you don't always want to see the other side of it, but that's also very much life. But so that's where I got it from. I didn't get it from school.
And have you noticed how many of these great people from history, how much of it leads to movies, TV series? I mean, at the moment, I'm watching a series about Catherine the Great of Russia. Okay, I think it's only, there are four episodes that are out now. And she was a phenomenal person. Mm. I mean, we haven't covered her yet. We might still get to her. But there's no shortage of material. And these lives are just insane. The assassination attempts these people managed to survive. The armies they led. The battles they won. The love stories tangled in there. Mm. History is so rich.
You know, when somebody dusted Caligula's mantelpiece and knocked over one of his ornaments, he was killed. You know, now we have to go to the CCMA. Wow. So,
you know, simpler times and solving problems,
exactly.
Anthony. Oh, CCMA and paperwork.
Someone dusted his mantelpiece and they knocked over an ornament.
Oops.
He had them killed. Jesus.
So it just shows you, it's just, we're living in a different era. And, you know, political correctness.
Oh, just wow. Ruined everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's something interesting. This is from, again, unsolicited from Candace. She says, I work in the media advertising and marketing industry, and I absolutely love this fresh approach to content and getting messages across. Not the impressions and clicks and BRC, RAMs and TAMs and all this crap. She says, it's so refreshing. Yeah.
That's incredible. That's just...
Thanks. I mean, what can we say but thanks? I don't even have Windows, and I'm getting a quote from Taylor Blind. That's from Carl.
They might be from the property next door in the Reeded House.
Oh, yes.
Jean says, I hated history. Listening to an unenthusiastic teacher killed my soul, but I'm able to listen to you two going back and forth, putting together an informative and interesting story. I love doing drawings of the characters while you chat to me to help me learn. Thank you so much. Hmm. I think this is Jean who's been sending us those.
Yeah, those drawings are, yeah,
they're like
amazing.
Study notes. They're, yes. They're phenomenal.
They're incredible.
You know, for him to take the time out of his day to draw those pictures, that, again, is like such a compliment to... First of all, the stories themselves, because they are so gripping. And second of all, to the fact that we can connect with him for, 15 minutes of his day? Mm. It's amazing. So thank you.
And you don't really know how it's going to pan out. You know, and will people take to this type of thing?
Mm.
I think the good thing about it is 15 minutes, you know, because it needs to be short or shortish. Because the attention span, people are very busy. So in the traffic, you know, you can sit in the traffic and listen to it or whatever it might be. So that's, and then you learn something. That's the new generation. That's how we're living now.
Well, I mean, some of them we can't help going over 15 minutes. Like Napoleon was a long episode. And I just got this message now from someone who listened to that. Riette, she says, loved the Napoleon episode. I missed the reference to his second wife. We didn't even get a chance to talk about her. Marie-Louise, Duchess of Parma, and her role in his life. She was an extremely smart and strategic woman. Do you see, she could be an episode on her own.
That's correct. Funny enough, in history, if we look at the big generals in history and the emperors, the women were actually ruling behind the scenes. It's incredible. And I found it now in obviously, I don't want to say what's up next, but it's incredible that the role they played in the emperors of Rome.
Yeah, oh yes, Rome was, there was a big matriarchy going on there.
Very, very strong.
And those women were some really strategic and dangerous.
If strategic meant they'd poison somebody, and that's how you eliminate them.
They seem to either be not featured at all, just not a feature, and just the typical woman from that era. Or they were completely stark raving mad and very powerful.
Well, they would do whatever it took to get their husbands or sons onto a throne or into a position of power. And that meant that all morals, all ethics be damned. They would do anything it took. They would sleep with whoever it took. They'd poison whoever it took. They would murder. They would suffocate with pillows. They would do terrible, terrible
snake
things.
Snake bites.
Really wow. bad. I mean, if you look at women like Cleopatra, I mean, her whole thing was just trying to preserve Egypt by sleeping with whoever was the most important man she could find.
See, I don't feel bad for, like, blocking people on social media now. At least I didn't
summon snakes. Imagine Cleopatra on social media.
Jeez, Cleopatra on social media, she'd be a porn star. Yeah. That's what she'd be. That's amazing. Do you often think that the best heaven for people like you and me, and anyone else, because there are lots of us who love history, the best heaven for us would be a time machine?
Agreed.
Where you could get in that thing, and I fantasize about this stuff when I go to sleep at night. This is what my dreams consist of. I get into this machine in my mind, and I can travel back and forward in time, and I can actually watch without interrupting or involving myself at all. I can watch what happened, and I can see the people. And I can actually hear the dialogue like I'm in this never-ending movie.
But that's why it's so important for us to keep the objects. And it's horrible to see when they destroy history, museums.
Buildings.
It's horrible when you see that because that is our only real link.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they've developed a time machine that people say, well, one day they're going to do it, but then we would have seen people from the future. So clearly they haven't, they haven't developed it yet. But
that is such a trippy thought.
Yeah, it's true though.
Yeah, but the thing, that's why we got to look after what we have.
I agree. I mean, I collect stuff like furiously. I collect old books and coins and I've got a Neolithic arrowhead and stupid stuff like that because I feel almost like I've got to look after this stuff. I don't know who for. I mean, I don't have a plan, but I'm collecting it like a madman. And when I see things like the Egyptian Museum during that Tahrir Square,
yeah, that was terrible
protest, and people are going into the museum and looting it, and the Taliban who destroyed those Buddhas of Bamiyan, and you see all of this stuff, and you think, for God's sake, can you human beings not just behave yourself enough to understand that this is part of the world's heritage?
It's identity.
I mean, they're discovering these pyramids in the Guatemalan jungle now that they didn't know existed. These huge, sprawling Mayan cities that we've been able to identify now by Google Earth, of all things, that we didn't even know were there, that have been undiscovered for hundreds of years. That's phenomenal.
Well, that's what technology gives us. But you know, the thing is, a lot of people think, okay, so 2,000 years ago, sparsely populated, lots of animals around, but there was overpopulation in the cities. They were living on top of each other.
Totally.
And the fall of the Roman Empire wasn't so much a Commodus. It was more destroyed by plague, so they were, because all the men were killed.
And
so,
they said the lead piping, which lead they used piping. For plumbing, and that eventually it was like a slow lead poisoning.
Correct, that's right.
It was part of it, yeah.
Even Elizabeth I, I mean, she basically, with the powder she put on the face, that's what killed her in the end.
Yeah, she used like this lead
Yeah, that was the
salt.
Makeup. That's how to...
Like
to
make the herself. Paint they use on Chinese toys.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's what she used to paint her face with, the poor woman.
So they struggled. I mean, it wasn't a bed of roses.
Well, I always say, and I said this the other day, I repeat myself endlessly about how good it is to be alive now. Because honestly, humans had terrible lives. Even if you were the king in ancient Greece, you know, you were the most important guy there. You're an emperor in ancient Rome. There wasn't electricity. There wasn't medical care. They would leech you, or they'd bleed you, or they'd do some horrible thing to you that would probably make you worse. It didn't make you better.
Now you live to 30, 35.
35, you're an old man.
Yeah.
35, oh, wow, you've got a 35-year-old in your family?
Yeah.
Mine were all
and
dead at 18. And
the 35-year-old women had about 11 children.
Oh, my God. They had
a lot of children.
Yeah, and those women had to just push out children nonstop. And most of the women who had children at an advanced age would die in childbirth.
Yeah. Mm.
Horrible stuff.
But you're one of your most popular figures in history, well, Victoria, she had... She spent most of her time pregnant.
She was being queen
mourning
in between while she was pregnant.
It was either something going in her vagina or coming out.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah.
Very important. The history of Queen Victoria's vagina. All right, if I watch a historical drama, I adore looking up the characters. The Greeks, the Romans, the English kings and queens. I love it. That's from Ruth. Yeah, Ruth.
I agree, 100%. Ah, that's exactly me too.
And then Leighton says, I wish the episodes were longer, but I get why they're short form. I've been listening to podcasts and watching YouTube documentaries and historical characters since before Blind History. And even when you guys cover someone I've gone over before, I still usually learn something new in that 15 minutes. It's great. Well done, guys. Looking forward to the next episode and future seasons. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jay says, the fact that it only takes one person to get the love of history to flourish says a lot. 500 people could not get me interested in maths. All it took was my grandfather's World War II stories of his travels to Sierra Leone and the fact that the reason I'm South African is because he was stationed in Durban. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
See, yeah. Also, I think there's an element of history that's personal.
For me, in the same instance, it was my grandfather who was involved in mining history in South Africa, and De Beers, and starting off in Welkom, and where Gold Reef City is currently. He was chief engineer of those mines.
And we drive these roads that he probably used to drive on a wagon.
Well, he was born in 1915.
Sure.
Okay, died at 102.
That's
sure,
amazing.
That's incredible.
But you see, again, like you could do an episode on Cecil John Rhodes or on Barney Bonato. He would have known these people.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. You know, that funny enough, I thought they were ox wagons in that time, but remember we did Pixley.
Yeah, Pixley Kaisakaseme.
Yeah, and he had a DIY, and so I thought it was an ox wagon.
He was arrested for driving under the influence.
Yeah, he was driving, but he crashed
one of the new cars.
One of the new cars in Johannesburg.
Very new car.
Oh, dear.
All right, so...
They didn't even have tests on that yet. They didn't know that you could crash a car if you had been drinking.
Well...
But the stories that you must have heard from, 1915...
Amazing, and he wrote a memoir. I should actually bring it to you guys to have a look at.
So what do you know about your own history?
So, from my dad's side, we know quite a bit. We've got coat of arms. I've actually found out a bit since I saw yours.
Uh-huh.
So German.
Yes.
Where
in Germany?
Nuremberg. Yeah.
Okay.
Nuremberg. And my dad's also got some interesting stories. His father was in the war, Second World War. My dad was born in 1937. And.
Was he a Nazi? Because the Germans were, whether they wanted to be or not.
Well, it's my dad's brother got a Reichmark from from Adolf Hitler. Seriously, that's
Heiliger Gott.
What is that? Is it a tattoo?
It's a little coin. With a Reichmark. I see what you mean, a mark.
What is wrong with you? You don't know a Reichmark.
And that's just how he asked someone out on a date.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, but he was killed on horseback. My dad's dad in the war, and they grew up in the war. He said it was hectic. It was, they only ate potatoes.
Well, afterwards there was just terrible starvation, hunger, and predation. Mm. The Germans who managed to survive the war, remember, most of the men were wiped out. So it was young boys and women, and the women had been through hell, and they'd be scrounging around for things to feed their kids.
Yeah, my dad's mom was scary.
Just like a tough woman.
Oh.
Real German
matriarch.
Yeah,
thank God she died before I was born.
Did he tell you she was a real
He was so scared of her.
Real piece of work, that woman.
She ripped the potatoes out of the ground.
What was her name? Brunhilde.
And she looked like my dad as well. So
she looked like a man, is what you're saying.
I'm trying to be delicate, yeah.
I'm seeing right through that.
That's your grandmother. All right.
Yeah, so that's true. I didn't put that together. It is my grandmother. But you know the old stories of our family. They used to walk to school in the snow.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it was their lives sounded like a complete misery. Yeah. You know?
It was like with my grandfather, it was the Rhodesian stuff and what we call the Wenwees.
Yes.
When we were in Rhodesia.
The Wenwees.
I love it. Everyone's got a personal history, though. And when you link up your own family to what was going on in the world that they lived in, suddenly you understand a whole bunch about why, you know, your dad might have been grumpy or why your great-grandmother was so... spendthrift.
Yeah, tight-fisted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You suddenly realize, like, these are the ways that people learn the habits that they learn. God, I love history. You never get bored, right? All right, so we've got a couple of episodes to do today, and there's still a few on the way in season two, and we've got plans for what's going to come next, but we're still busy thinking about what exactly to do. If you have suggestions, obviously, you can let us know. And we have actually done a couple of episodes based on suggestions from people who listen to the series, so we would love to hear from you. Just email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. I'll pass it on to Anthony as well, and maybe we can get some ideas going for what we could do next. You know, there's people who want us to do these things live. Maybe that's something we could do. We put an event together and people can come through. And maybe get experts, other people who know the stories really well. Who knows? We could be doing anything about this. And I really appreciate all the support we've had for Blind History. Anthony, you're terrific at it. And he's getting like better than me at
Thank
it.
Thank you.
I mean, the last episode on the craze.
No, well done, guys. I think it's such a great series, really.
It's fantastic.
If that's how it was given to me at school, I probably would have paid more attention.
Yeah. I mean, that's I think
it was more the school environment that put you off.
But you said to me that that's one thing you wanted to achieve too, is to make history exciting.
Exactly.
Which I love.
And it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Mm. You know, it's not embellished. Although some of the guys, there's always a hidden agenda, but it's the people writing the books.
Quite a bit of propaganda. Exactly, yeah. Cliffcentral.com.